How have you not seen this?
Not seen this as always. It's me, your host Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my special guest host Tom Plute.
Hey, everybody!
And our guest Danny Stratton.
Hello, out there.
Had a little space, but happy to have these two back on. And we just watched Judge Dredd. Mm-hmm. You're hearing that right? This isn't a repeat of the episode where we watched Dredd, the good one.
No.
We watched Judge Dredd, starring Sylvester Stallone. Well, by the time I can say this now, this is the most recent film that we did for the Big Dumb Picture Show.
Yep.
So we watched it as research for that, and Danny suggested we do it for the podcast because he'd never seen it. So here we find ourselves, yeah. And it fits into this month's theme of action movies. It does not begin to even remotely compare to the one with Carl Urban.
No, not at all.
But it's one of those ones that I own because it's fun when I'm drunk and I've got nothing to do. It's fun to play little drinking games too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more entertaining bed than a lot of the other stuff we've done for Big Dumb Picture Show. And it actually, like, financially it did well. It's a garbage movie, but Stallone definitely drew enough.
It did well in the box office?
Yeah, yeah. I'll pull it up. Like, I mean, it didn't lose money.
I mean, I saw it in the theater, so what am
yeah.
I saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it was also, well, we'll get into that stuff later, but it was clearly a big Hollywood film, got a huge release, big Stallone, big name draw. So, Danny, how have you not seen this?
I like good movies.
That's not true.
That is true.
No.
Well, it is true, but that doesn't answer the question.
I don't know.
You've seen bad movies before.
Well, for sure, but those ones are fun to watch.
Yeah, this one, not so much.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so actually not hugely successful.
Yeah.
Largely because it was made against a budget. Let's ballpark. If you guys had to guess how much money this movie cost.
$57 million.
Tom?
I was going to get $65 million.
$90 million.
Yeah. That's successful.
Which was only a little bit less than Waterworld. Waterworld was $125 million, mm-hmm. which was unheard of
yeah.
for that period of movies. And now, like, I think that's the minimum for a Marvel movie anymore. Made $113.5 million, basically.
Yeah.
So made its money back, but not a success, like I was saying. So
yeah.
There's that. And of course, it was critically slammed.
As
right.
well, it should be.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh man, worse than I thought too. I always love like going back to something like this because this happened with Doom when I did it for Mandy Lee. Where when I was like, no, this is fun, and it's so much worse than I remember. This is just as bad as I remember, because I've actually watched it much more recently than I've watched Doom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still, like, it's bad.
I have a question. Why did you watch it recently?
Because I enjoy watching shitty movies.
Okay.
It was one of those things, I think, somebody was hanging out with me that had not seen it,
mm-hmm.
And we were day drinking, we're like, oh, hey, what's a fun, bad movie? I was like, oh, have you seen Judge Dredd?
Yeah.
So we drank and we watched this, and it's a pretty fun afternoon.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, it's harder, too, because we were, like, genuinely trying to write for Big Dumb Picture Show.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is that while we were trying to watch this movie, our brains were also working,
mm-hmm.
making us more aware of just how terrible it was.
Yeah. If you even have the slightest working brain while you watch this movie,
yeah, you need to shut it off.
You're going to hate it. Like, the director clearly shut it off as soon
right.
as he got on the
set.
He was
on autopilot the whole way through.
Yeah, Danny Cannon, terrible job.
Danny Cannon, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He was never heard from again.
I feel like, you know, like, when you're driving home and you go into, like, a daydream and all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, I'm at home. Like, how did I get there?
Yeah.
Like, he just went into a daydream. Was like, and then he had a finished copy of Judge Dredd in his hand. He was like, oh,
yeah.
Crap, I made a movie. Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
It's like here's what it's like, more specifically. It's like a plumber. Like, went into work one day, and he's just like, well, this isn't really where I work. I stumbled onto, like, it seems like a Hollywood set. And then, like, I'd say, like, 3 months later, then he came back to the same place, and it was just all gone. And he's like, was that all a dream? Did I become a director for 3 months?
Yeah. I will say this, to Stallone's credit. Yeah. He has gone on record as, like, saying he's sorry for this, basically.
Oh, thank
you. And admitting that it is.
Can you relay a message for me? Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, but I'll also say, like, it doesn't all fall on Stallone, too.
No.
Like I don't think Stallone is typically awful in most stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever hired Rob Schneider should be shot in the face with a shit gun.
Yes. I think less than halfway through the movie, let's just hit all these, because we realize that Judge Dredd is just borrowing scenes and, like, set pieces and motifs from other movies.
Yeah.
And, like, not even in a clever, interesting way.
No.
Like, Fifth Element, I can get on board with having, being modeled after Blade Runner, because it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Right.
This looks like Fifth Element and the Blade Runner sets, like, the cities, but it's dog shit.
Yeah.
Right? And while several Star Wars allusions came up, and all I could think of after we started talking about that was, like, Rob Schneider is just a human Jar Jar Binks.
Pretty much,
just this unnecessary comic relief.
There's unbelievable amounts of parallels to Star Wars in Judge Dredd.
Well,
I did not realize that.
Well,
whatever happened to Jar Jar Binks? You never see him in movies anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? Really dropped off the map.
You would have thought he went into some, like, direct DVD, like a Planes 3.
American Pie 5.
Naked Mile with Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Wait, is Jar Jar Binks just Eugene Levy?
He is. There's that one with Jar Jar Binks and Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they yell at each other. But, well, Sam Jackson yells at him because he's Jar Jar Binks. He's got
of course. Let's get into some of the obvious ones. They're called hunters in this movie. They're essentially the internal affairs for judges.
Yeah.
Except judges can kill, so can the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like stormtrooper-esque appearance. They can't hit
a broadside of a
even
barn.
Even though they're trusted with bringing down the best of the best, essentially.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of good anonymous henchmen work in this movie.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous, too, because, like, at one point there's a scene and we learn that Aspen is a prison colony.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, you see a couple of the guards, like, in the stormtrooper suits, they're just wearing capes that cannot possibly serve any functionality whatsoever, and are a fucking liability, but they're like, they probably wore this in Star Wars.
Looks cool.
And then, what was some of the other stuff? Oh, like, the choosing between light and dark, essentially. Enrico and Judge Dredd basically being that Skywalker Vader side of the coin.
Right.
But, like, the Return of the Jedi side of the coin. Now Luke is ineffectual and whining about power converters. Oh, the pod race. The chase on the Lawmaster motorcycles. Which is just, oh, God. The green screen stuff in this movie is so bad.
Green
screen.
It's like a painting.
There's so many bad things.
Some hand painted the background.
Like, the special effects in RoboCop almost look better than this.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, RoboCop has, like, that very obvious sequence with the Ed 209 where it falls down the stairs and you can tell, like, how clearly, like, it's a stop-motion thing.
Yeah.
Still looks better than any time a CGI backdrop is in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, not too many good things about this movie.
Well, that's fine. We can talk about the bad things.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything good we can talk about.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to talk about that.
I mean, I guess I did do the best job of acting in this movie.
James Remar in the very beginning.
James Remar, yeah.
James Remar, of course, from The Warriors, Django Unchained, 48
Dexter.
Hours.
Dexter.
Yeah. Great character actor. Appearing in an uncredited role in the very beginning of the film in a block war.
And I wouldn't want to be credited for it either.
Is he also in Little Nicky?
James Remar?
I
think he is.
I think he plays the, like, Tony Montana part, and he says, "It's that no good James Remar." I think. I could be totally off base.
I have
no idea.
No,
he definitely says it's Tony Montana.
I don't think he does. I don't think they had the rights to that movie. I could be wrong, though.
I mean, I'll look it up while we keep talking.
Okay.
But yeah, James Remar is really fucking good, like, in that opening scene.
Yeah, he is.
And I think the reason that Dredd, like, one of the things it does well is there's a shitload of stories to pull from in Judge Dredd. Like, there's so much great... Like, I've read the comics since I was a kid, and I love them. So, naturally, I was super just... Like, even as a kid when I saw this. And there's key elements, and of course, we talked about them on the Dredd episode, obviously.
Who does the comics? Is it, like, a DC? Is it...
It was... It originally was published... in 2000 AD, which was a British magazine. So the character is British in its origin, and was designed as a commentary, I think, like, around the time, like, Margaret Thatcher was prime minister and everything. So it was a commentary on, like, totalitarian government, like, in the, kind of that ruling with an iron fist.
Yeah.
Like, Judge Dredd is a great comic. It's very clearly, like, also offering social commentary, too.
Yeah.
And one of the big things is that Dredd never takes his helmet off in the comics, which Dredd knocks out of the park with Carl Urban.
Sure, yeah.
And
that's
important because, like, the whole purpose of that character is he's supposed to be this faceless personification of absolute justice.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things Stallone even admits about this movie. They fucked up. Like, because you don't pay Stallone however many millions I'm sure they paid him, and then not see his face, not show those baby blue eyes.
Yeah. For some odd reason. That was so creepy.
It really was.
It's much more creepy than I remembered it being.
That's because as a kid, you were like, man, he seems likable.
Stallone?
Yeah.
I like Stallone. I think Stallone is great. No, James Remar, not in Little Nicky. That was important. I had to find that out.
Thank God. All right. I was wrong.
But yeah, Diane Lane is good in this too, though.
She is.
And I don't even... I think Max von Sydow is even good in this as the Chief Justice Fargo.
Right.
I think
it's poorly written. It's very poorly directed.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Who played the robot? I like the robot.
Do you mean Chewbacca?
Yeah, Chewbacca.
Yeah. I mean, that too.
Yeah.
The robot was played by Sam Worthington.
Peter Mayhew.
No, would have a lot more personality than Peter Mayhew.
It was very one of those
T-800. Yeah, it was definitely like it looked Terminator
inspired.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the problem too. Is like this movie tries to cram in too many story elements.
Really does,
because like it's obviously cause, like the problem with a movie like this is clearly a world building movie.
Yeah,
and we never get to stay in one part of it long enough to really see how cool it is.
Yeah.
Like,
or even start caring about
it. They also don't even develop the relationship between Diane Lane and Sylvester Stallone.
No,
like,
just
not even a little bit.
Like that
they don't even try.
That so much feels like a studio forced element too.
Yeah.
And like it was the same thing, I've mentioned this probably a million times on this fucking podcast too. It's just like the first Hellboy movie with Hellboy and Liz Sherman, Selma Blair's character.
Mm-hmm.
And that love story does exist in the comics. It's just that in the movie, in the first movie, it comes about just so unnaturally where it feels like it just seems like that was the studio saying, hey, Guillermo del Toro, put this in there, we're not going to bankroll your movie. And that's absolutely the way it feels in this.
Yeah. Make sure you have a love scene.
Yeah.
You gotta have a love scene.
Got to.
That's...
What is this movie rated, by the way?
R. It is rated R.
It is rated R?
It should not be.
Wow, it was not that violent, or there was not a lot of... I don't remember any cursing in it. And no boobies, so what was it R for?
Let me double check. I'm pretty sure it was R.
The one violent scene in it, they cut away and just showed a splash of blood on the wall.
Yeah, they didn't show like any direct violence.
Yeah.
It was all just blood off camera.
I have no idea why this would be an R-rated movie.
Give me 2 seconds.
R-rated just because people just shouldn't watch it.
Yeah. we want the fewest amount of people to watch it.
NC-17 just to... it's
mercy
dumb.
Kill.
It's really dumb. You don't want to see
it. I mean, that was the thing. Like, you could put Stallone in an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Because most of his stuff, like, outside of the Rocky franchise was rated R.
Yeah.
And those movies all did well. And then it got to a point where it kind of was box office.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yep, that was it.
Okay.
So let's see. This was 95. Why is this showing me Expendables 3?
This was 95?
Yeah, Judge Dredd was 95.
Okay.
So for our listeners, IMDb is all over Expendables 3 ads right now.
I looked up something the other day and it was all Expendables 3.
Like, why is it... Where the fuck is the rating? Why is it not showing me... I just want to know what this movie is rated.
It's
all I want to know.
Nothing?
It's not listing it. I'm positive it's rated R.
You got the DVD, right?
Yeah,
it's all the way over there.
It's all the way over there.
It is rated R. It is rated R.
Does it say what it's rated R?
Yeah.
For continuous violent action.
Really?
That's, I
didn't
see any of
it. Is more violent than this.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Danny was saying, like a lot of, like the gruesome stuff, like Jürgen Prochnow gets his arms ripped off.
Yeah.
And it happens off screen. Like you don't even see blood splash.
Yeah.
Like you almost never see bullets enter anyone's bodies.
Right.
And when you do, it's usually the characters of the hunters who are wearing body armor,
like
so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's just very dumb. And it really is a huge bummer, too, because, like, I feel like movies like this are the reason that it took so long for, like, the Marvel train to get rolling.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really until, like, Blade and X-Men that somebody said, oh, right, these movies can be profitable again.
Right. If you're doing them right.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, I mean, yeah, you had the Batman movies, but, like, I feel Batman almost transcends being a comic book anymore. Just because it's been around for so long, and I think it's so ingrained. And, like, even people who don't associate with the comics associate it with the Adam West television series.
Sure.
So, like, everybody has Batman in their consciousness.
Yeah, everybody has a kid animated series.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's there for everybody, but not met necessarily through the same means. Like, even my first introduction was the Adam West series, and I started reading the comics when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
And then the animated series from there.
Nerd.
And,
Yeah, he got you.
Hey, guilty. Guilty, guys.
If
you listen to all 50 episodes and haven't figured that out by now.
Yeah.
big old nerdo. I think the other, like, I'm trying to think of some of the other stuff too. Yeah, Rob, like, I don't know why, because this came out after Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm.
Which also has Rob Schneider in it very briefly.
Yeah.
So two...
Because him and Stallone were fucking, right?
Yep, they're fucking. Well, he's in a much smaller role in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And I could have handled that in this movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I loved it.
Yeah, but like they feel the need to give him... Like, and I hate that role in any kind of movie.
Well, not Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey wasn't busy.
Dana Carvey is the Weasley psychic.
Yeah.
he might have been doing Clean Slate at the time.
Oh, God. I like Clean Slate.
It was definitely pre-Master of Disguise.
Yeah.
But, like, Dredd, Olivia Thirlby, who plays his trainee.
Yeah, she's great.
She's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, how about you pair your lead with somebody who's, like, capable?
Right.
And, like, equally
like
as
Diane
good.
Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would have much rather have seen Diane Lane by his side throughout that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, like, it would have made the love story seem much less forced.
Right.
And also, it would have been not Rob Schneider.
Guys, let's rewrite this movie.
We can do it.
Can we get Diane Lane and Sylvester Stallone on the phone?
I feel like we got him.
Oh, man. But that's a tragedy, too.
Just tweet at him.
Hey, at Stallone. Well, allegedly, he's done with the Expendables. Three is supposed to be the last one.
I don't know about that.
It honestly probably will be, because, like, at this point, I think the only action stars left to really tap for it are The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
There's more actions. Channing Tatum.
So I don't know. I wouldn't qualify Channing Tatum as an action star, though.
Dance action star.
Yeah. Expendables 4, the streets.
Step up to the streets.
Yeah. See, there's other action stars. I'm trying to think of who's in. What about one of them Hemsworth kids?
Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Was actually in 2.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Liam.
And he was in 2.
Liam Hemsworth is not Thor, right? That's Chris Hemsworth.
Liam,
he's Hunger Games.
Liam's been in Hunger Games and Miley Cyrus.
No,
ooh,
bam,
at the same
go.
Time?
Yeah.
bringing some credibility to the Expendables franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth is in Expendables 2.
Mm-hmm.
What about Miley Cyrus first?
Yeah, why don't we give him a little Hannah Montana crossover?
Hey, she'll come in like
Hannah Montana
ball,
crossover!
Guys.
She plays Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
See, all of these stupid things we're talking about right now already sound like a way better movie than Judge Dredd.
I know, right?
Yeah. It really does.
And it sucks, too, because, like, I hate going back to this. I hate that it wasn't fun. for you guys.
It was horrible. It was pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
Get it?
Oh. Get it? Wait.
Hey.
I gotta write that down.
Hey, I think maybe you're judging this movie a bit harsh.
I got, hey, this movie sucked.
Oh, yep.
Dan, you're the short straw of puns.
Yeah. Am I doing this right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, you also had Armando Sante.
Yep.
Who I've literally never seen in anything but this. I know he is in a lot of other things.
He is.
I have not seen a single movie besides Rockstar.
I think he plays like bit parts in most things, doesn't he?
He does a lot of
He's very rarely top
like character. He's a character actor.
Yeah,
he played a main...
Yeah, he's in that, but I have never seen that.
Oh, okay.
In what?
No. I have Bronx Tale. De Niro's in that too, right?
He directed it.
Yes, I have seen a Bronx Tale. So that's the only other thing that I've seen Armando Sante in.
Chaz Palminteri wrote it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
I like
that
Chaz
was
Palminteri.
The thing that got him famous.
Oh, good for Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah.
Man, Chaz Palminteri should have been in this movie.
Judge
Coulier.
Why don't we get Dave Coulier for the next Expendables?
Oh,
class?
God. That
no,
sounds great.
It's not
him and
Coulier's
Stamos.
Cunt.
No, what if he listens to this podcast?
He can listen to it. I've had friends that have worked with him that have not had anything nice to say
Dustin,
about it.
Dustin, you don't want to burn that bridge.
Look, man.
Dave Coulier can bring
here's,
you to the top
the
of the comedy game.
I've already apologized to the actor who played El Guapo and the Three Amigos on this show, and he deserved that apology.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
Alright?
Okay.
He had Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, you ought to know that he was with him.
He fucked it up, man.
Did fuck it up.
You fucked it up.
We'd
cut
all fuck it up
out.
With her. We'd all fuck it up with her. We'd all
yeah,
be jealous.
Are you gonna cut this out? You gonna cut out all this stuff?
Yeah.
Just
no,
case.
Right?
Yeah. What if Alanis Morissette listens to us, dude?
Then she'll know that I love her very much.
Okay.
And I am a fan of her
she,
work.
After all, she is God.
Yep. Who would have thought? It figures.
Yeah.
let's
a minute to get to this.
Yeah,
sure did. Probably take a lot of other people more.
Slow burn. Sometimes I'm not. You know, sometimes you got to dig below the surface to get my material.
That was a deep cut.
I'm what's called a comics comic. Now that's
you
when
just,
that's
you
when you're
yourself that just go another llama comic.
That's when you're so good at comedy
yeah.
That only people who read Marmaduke think you're funny,
yeah.
right? That's what that means.
Real comics comedian over here.
You only perform for other comics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, we got any crankshaft in the house tonight? let's get back
that's
to the movie.
New Statham movie, right?
Oh,
it's
man,
him,
I wish.
It's him and Samuel Jackson.
Great, Jeff. I get it.
Oh, that'd be pretty good.
Whew. Would be great. As Samuel Jackson has been in Expendables.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very
there
true.
You
Sam,
go.
Sammy Jackson would be a great addition to him as well.
Yeah. Talking about Shaft now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else we haven't talked about in the movie so far. Jürgen Prochnow,
uh-huh.
who was Judge Griffin.
Uh-huh.
Also, usually really good in stuff. Even
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, but he was surrounded by shit, Dustin.
What else
has he been in?
In The Mouth of Madness, which is a John Carpenter movie with Sam Neill, Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
Oh, I know Sam.
Which is very, really fucking good. I like
Merlin.
It a lot. Yep, also from Merlin. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff. He was in a lot of those shitty Uwe Boll movies.
Yeah,
but I think
yeah,
it's because they also, you know, might secretly be Nazis or whatever.
But actually, that reminds me of a U-Ball movie.
Yeah?
Now that I think about it, Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
And it's bad. Oh, he's in Beer Fest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Beer Fest.
Yeah.
That's where I know
yeah.
him from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, I feel like that's the thing a lot of people who don't, like, aren't familiar with him would definitely recognize him from. Although he fucking kills it in that. Him and Will Forte both.
Yeah.
Forte's great.
Oh, we have the dad from Dharma and Greg in this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
God, there's so many fucking... There's so many interesting ways this movie could have gone, and I'm so frustrated that it didn't. Like, they set up the Angel Clan.
Yeah.
The family of cannibals.
They could have explored
they
that.
Set up the entire cursed earth.
Yeah.
And like, and there are fucking entire
this
runs.
This is boring. We got to get back in the city, guys.
Yeah, like it's so dumb. It's like the most action happens in the desert.
Everything happens so quickly. It's
They
mention something, then it's over. Yeah. Then they mention something else.
Yeah, there's no time to process anything ever.
Yeah.
Or digest it.
I will say that's one thing this movie has to its credit, is that it is very short.
Yeah, it is. It is really short.
Like, this movie running, at this point, I don't think comic movies are allowed to run less than 2 hours anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And this, this big...
So it's exactly 90 minutes.
Yeah, could have chopped it down another 20.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
If it was, like a short, like
oh
a 20-minute short.
We need to mention this. James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Literally in the movie long enough to do the voiceover at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like the opening scroll. That's all they got him for.
Wow.
And, like,
why?
You could, I don't know. Like, and part of me wonders, like, if the opening scroll was something that maybe was, like, one of those Studio Force things.
Yeah, Star Wars is big right now, guys. Let's be more like Star Wars.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's another parallel to the opening credit.
Yeah, the
it's
opening scroll.
It scrolls across.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, you have that in Dread,
yeah.
But it's Carl Urban doing this just, oh my God, so dreamy. That gravelly voice.
Yeah.
Like, him just, like, laying out how it is. Like, as action is happening, as opposed to just, like, that boring opening scrawl. Like, and the background is the Cursed Earth, where literally, like, 10 minutes of the movie takes place.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Dread, it's Carl Urban saying all this, like, while he's gearing up. I think that's the other problem with this movie, too. Our first introduction, like, our identifying point for a character in this movie, Rob Schneider's the first character we see.
Yeah.
Like, it's his character being brought back in to Mega City 1 from his after his sentence has expired. And, like, it's him just saying all these stupid, dumb, awful, terrible, dumb shit things. First thing you see in Dread is him suiting up to fucking go out and be a street judge.
Right.
Like, and that's such a huge...
Dread is a much better movie than Judge Dread.
Yeah. And I, like...
Yeah.
You can absolutely introduce characters who aren't your main focus first. But, like, to spend that much time, like, setting up, like, this character who, at his best, is minorly annoying, and at his worst, makes the movie fucking unbearable.
Yeah.
Like, he serves minimal purpose, like, he's clearly there for gags, and, like, and that's not something you need in this fucking movie.
Right.
And we also, like, we talked earlier, too, again, like, I feel like I'm just comparing it to Dread at this point, but now's the time to do that, I feel
sure.
like. I was doing a podcast about
right.
the inferior version of Dread.
Mm-hmm.
In Dread, Carl Urban never fucking quips. Like, he doesn't have one-liners.
Nope.
Like, he's very dry. Like, and it's still, my favorite moment is when he throws Lena Headey's character, like, off
yeah,
the 200 floors. Yeah, yeah. Throws her down, she dies, he looks over. You think he's going to say something, he just goes, yeah. And walks away. Like, that is his one-liner.
Yeah.
Dredd is constantly, like, quipping in this, which is so fucking out of character for him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's annoying, yeah.
And it's like...
It kind of takes you out of it.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, it's Sylvester Stallone saying...
If this was a Stallone action vehicle, it still wouldn't be a very good one,
mm-hmm.
but it would be a better Stallone vehicle than it would a Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, is they took this property and they said, let's make a Stallone movie and not a Judge Dredd movie. And he himself, again, like, in he has admitted that in retrospect
right.
after the so many years have passed, too.
Mm-hmm.
So. Is there anything else you guys would like to say about Judge Dredd?
Don't watch it.
Would it be better if I was high? Should I have gotten high?
No, no.
Because I watched Dredd high, and that was...
Well, Dredd also
that
like,
was
has
amazing.
A, Dredd also has a lot of really great visual sequences too.
Yeah,
like whereas this movie
does
not
have anything.
Yeah.
I just remember getting really high and then finding Dredd on Netflix. I was like, whatever, I'll just watch it.
Oh.
It might be horrible, and then I sat there just enthralled.
Dredd is so fucking amazing. I hate it too. It's like it's a movie where there's a great property to pull from. You've got a good cast minus Rob Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
Who again, like, even we've seen, like, in something like Demolition Man, when used sparingly enough, he's tolerable. But then it's just like the movie just throws Rob Schneider at us with both barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking awful. I'm trying to think of any of the other movies that this fucking parallel, and I'm completely blanking. There's obviously the Blade Runner stuff. Like, there's
right.
one scene where it straight up looks like the moment in the film where Rick Deckard, Harrison Ford's character, kills a replicant in the streets.
Oh, right.
And, like,
the club that they went to.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
same. You made the reference. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, it looks exactly
stuff.
Like that.
And like it just tries to like be all these other movies, and it sucks, and it's unfortunate, and it's a bummer too, because like usually this is a fun one for me to watch, but I think under the circumstances with us writing to prep for Big Dumb Picture Show and everything, ooh, like we clearly weren't in a state, and even if we weren't, I don't think we would have enjoyed it much more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to watch it again in 2 days. And then again in 2 days after that.
Yep, yep.
We have to watch this movie 2 more times this week.
Can I be cryogenically frozen? Never wanted something more.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, that last scene, the fight in the lab. That's exactly what happens at the end of Demolition Man.
It is.
So at one point, this movie is just borrowing from other Stallone movies.
It really is.
Yeah.
So.
It's just a big borrowing mess of a bunch of different movies.
Well, we've got to do this. Favorite moments. It's something I've started doing in the episodes.
Oh, God.
So.
Favorite moment of Judge Dredd.
Favorite moment
or
something.
This is going to be hard.
I know. But it's how I like to try and close the show on a positive.
I got mine.
Okay. Well, what's yours?
Mine, The Cure song.
Yeah, what the fuck? How did you not mention that? That's so weird. The Cure. And it's called Dredd song, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking weird. Like, Tom and I just very jokingly, like, oh, is that The Cure?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, no, this actually sounds like The Cure. It's The fucking Cure. Wrote a song for this movie.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because Anthrax wrote a song years ago, when just the comics was out, called I Am the Law.
Uh-huh.
Clearly inspired by the character.
Sure.
I was like, you didn't use a song that was already written. You got The Cure to write a song.
Yeah.
Which is...
And The Cure does not fit in the...
No, and I love The Cure,
it's going on my iPod, guess.
Jeez.
What's what is it, in fucking Blade Trinity, when Jessica Biel's character listens to her vampire killing mixes on her iPod, which is just clearly shitty product placement. It's like, you're like putting that on and finding out she's got this charming man by the Smiths as like her killing music.
What was the Denzel Washington Blind movie where he's blind?
Oh, Blind?
Yeah, he's blind, but he's in the future.
Oh, fuck, Book of Eli.
Yeah, he's listening to iPod and that, and it's just like, oh, you just need an excuse for a larger soundtrack.
Yeah, which is also like, I know at some point I'm going to do the Blade trilogy, and that's always been one of my biggest gripes with the third one.
Mm-hmm.
This is like...
No Chris Christopherson?
Very little Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
But also way too little Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like, that's such a dumb thing, let's chill on this product placement. Do you know how quiet and fast vampires are? Like, they exist in real life. I'm not going to be listening to an iPod while I'm trying to kill them.
Yeah.
Tom, what was your moment
or
something?
Oh, man, it's so
hard. Or something you liked. Just anything positive.
Anything I liked about the movie.
Your
I liked it a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah. Your childhood.
And I was an idiot in fifth grade.
Yeah, give me something.
Yeah, if you're an idiot, you'll love
it. Oh, I was
an idiot. Come on, Danny found something he liked, and Danny hates everything.
It's true, I do.
Yeah.
I suck joy out of everything, and everybody.
Yeah, it's just a real fun sucker.
Mm-hmm. That's what they call
me. This is the single thing I liked about this movie.
I feel like there had to be something.
This is hard. This is a very hard question.
When it was over.
No.
When it was over.
No, besides that, that doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
What, are you a comedian?
I don't know, man. I really can't. I'm really trying to...
How about Dustin, you go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
I do like that opening sequence. The Block War. I think that's probably the part in the movie that actually feels like a Judge Dredd movie.
Okay.
Cause
it feels more like the other movie too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
like
Dredd is a lot like it's just
yeah,
like a
it's
whole
literally
movie like
a
that,
day,
and that's great.
Like yeah, on the fucking dude's beat, and like he keeps the helmet on, like he doesn't have a mask until well after that sequence is over. And like I said earlier, James Remar fucking kills it in that scene. Like he's very good for the 5 minutes of the movie he's in. And it's a good action sequence. Like it gives you that insight into the character, and then unfortunately it falls apart completely in every conceivable way right after that scene ends.
Sure does.
What? Why then? If he's not supposed to take off his mask, why does he have bright blue eyes then too on top of it?
Because the people making this movie clearly don't understand what the character's about.
We're
and
not
like
make
and yeah, well, yeah, that too. And I will say like. I try and stick to the school of thought where, like, obviously everything on the written page doesn't translate the same to the screen. I understand that, but, like even John Martin, I feel the same way about the Punisher movie with Tom Jane, where Tom Jane is Frank Castle, the Punisher, in that movie, spends most of the movie, like, convincing Howard Saint, John Travolta's character, like, to kill his best friend, and his wife was like, no, the Punisher, like, the Punishers and Judge Dredd are two of the simplest characters.
Yeah.
They kill bad guys. They're like, yeah, one of them is motivated by tragedy, but at the end of the day, like, they're very black and white characters.
Yep.
And that's where the conflict is supposed to come in from. Like, they're not supposed to be the people we identify with. They're supposed to be the people saying, hey, you need to have that gray area, like, in the world. And, like, they're not meant to be emulated or looked up to. And that's the problem with this, is, like, they humanize Dredd way too much. And he's not supposed to. He's supposed to, like, literally be just a fucking murder machine.
Yeah.
That's a good name for a movie.
Murder Machine.
I'd go see Murder Machine.
That's a Deathlok song.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't think it is, but it definitely sounds
like one. Yeah.
Good old Brandon Small.
Oh, classic.
Come on, Tom.
All right. Well, I'm just going to have to agree with you. Like, the opening sequence is... It brings you into the movie. You're like... get really excited, like, okay, this movie might be really good, like, I'm excited about this movie, and then it just takes a big shit on itself.
Yeah, and none of the other action sequences are done as well, either.
No, they're horrible,
like,
actually.
Like that action, it was like they got a competent director in for, like, one day of shooting.
It's like he showed up the first day of work sober.
Yeah. And then it was like, let me see the script. ABC robot, what the fuck is that?
I'm going to try heroin.
The problem was he also put in blue contacts and couldn't see a goddamn thing.
Makes sense. All right, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Cool.
Thank you, Tom, for guest hosting. We're gonna finish the Godfather trilogy at some point.
All right,
we're gonna get you back.
I've
on
been itching
those.
To watch the Godfather.
I know.
Too.
We will get to them. Well, I do too, because I still haven't seen the third one. So
right.
Spoiler alert: he becomes a god.
Danny, thank you for being our guest.
Hey, thank you, Dustin.
Hey, no problem.
For doing
what if we do this every time we watch Judge Dredd?
Yeah.
Just do it again.
It's the new podcast.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Well. We'll get you on for a good movie again in the future. Thank you guys for listening and putting up with us doing another garbage movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to do these periodically just because...
What was your last garbage movie?
Doom was definitely the last...
Oh, that's a really bad movie.
Doom was the last straight garbage movie. Live Free or Die Hard was pretty bad, too.
I don't know.
It's
the fourth Die
Hard
movie.
Oh,
did you do the fifth Die Hard movie?
No, I refused to do the
fifth
Die Hard movie.
I've only seen the Die Hard. I've only seen the first.
Well, Good Day to Die Hard is the one that came out last year, the same year as Olympus Has Fallen, and Olympus Has Fallen is a better Die Hard movie.
Yeah, here,
I will go through the list right now. I can name you all of the terrible movies we've done.
Let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. Doom.
Yep,
that's garbage.
Godfather.
If you believe Eric Tate, Evil Dead 2, but Eric Tate is fucking wrong. He hated Evil Dead 2.
I've never seen it.
Oh, Evil Dead 2 is very good.
I've only seen
I like Evil
Darkness.
Dead 2 a lot. just
take
Commando, but Commando is like a fun, bad movie.
Who's in that?
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Commando is so much fun. And it's another one of those ones where, like, it's very modest. Like, it's only like an hour and a half, hour and 40.
Oh, we should have done that movie.
I already did that movie.
But I mean for the picture show.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, we'll
no
see.
Chance. that's from Commando.
Yeah.
Matt Monta will get this joke when he listens to this episode.
Hello,
and then yeah, Live Free or Die Hard was probably the most recent Batman we did. But there are going to be garbage ones on here from now on, because sometimes my brain forgets what good means or how much. Because I remember Doom being a lot more fun than it was too.
I didn't like it when I first
bad.
Saw it.
It was fun in the theaters, but it's bad. But So yeah, so sorry. Thank you again, Tom, for guest hosting. Danny, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time. I am the law.